Would to Romans 16. And as I considered Ruth's being with us this evening, the Lord prompted me that we would just spend a few minutes addressing the matter about women in ministry. And Ruth and I talked about that a little bit this morning. And I think it's an unfortunate thing that sometimes churches and pastors fail to appreciate the ministry of our ladies, of someone like Ruth, a godly young lady whom God has gifted and prepared, and she is giving herself to full-time service on the mission field. And in fact, there are, sad to say, some churches that won't grant an opportunity for a single lady to even, you know, present their ministry and share that. And I think that's an unfortunate thing. I understand where folks come from on that. You know, and we understand that God isn't asking Ruth to plant a church, and He's not asking her to pastor a missionary church, but He has directed her to invest her life and her energies at BJMBC there in the Philippines. You know, a really robust ministry, and God is using it in mighty ways. And you know, as I look at that ministry, and your video actually alluded to this, and I was glad because I would just be kind of speaking off the cuff. But the fact is, sociologists tell us that Filipino people are some of the most adaptable, ingratiating people in the entire world. And, you know, they are accepted into cultures where frankly, we ugly Americans wouldn't be so accepted. You know, and they have inroads into sometimes Muslim culture, even where they can share the gospel, where just because of the polarization in our world, you know, we here would have no opportunity, no open door. So when I look at a ministry like the Kamibayashi Amis, and the one that Ruth has been a part of and will be joining in a long-term capacity, you know, there is great potential there, not just to reach the Filipino people, and that's great potential in itself, but really to make a difference in Southeast Asia, as they're already doing. And I'm very good friends with Tim Berry, you know, just a dear friend, and I've just loved getting to know Phil and his family here, and you know, so just excited to see what the Lord is doing, and even that they will make a difference in the lives of Filipinos, whether they are trained there or trained under the preaching and teaching of those who go out from that school ministry there, and go around the world. And you saw the map with all the red dots, all the places that Filipino people are making a difference. So, you know, I'm just excited about what the Lord is doing there, and excited for how the Lord will continue to use Ruth in that capacity. And I just want to look briefly at this passage here in Romans 16 that just gives us some sense of the appreciation that the Apostle Paul had for the impact that ladies can make in the work of the ministry. You know, if you go back to ancient culture, pre-Christian era, women had virtually no opportunity. It just was a very, very difficult setting. And frankly, the Mosaic system, the Old Testament law, opened some doors for women. We recognize that there were still limitations, but really did. And Christianity radically opened doors for women to be used by the Lord in making a difference in the lives of others. And, you know, we as a church, and I'm guessing that pretty much all of us as individuals, you know, we have a view towards men and women and ministry and families that's dubbed complementarian. You know, and we've talked about that as we were working through the book of Genesis, the idea that God has created men and women equal in value and in, you know, relationship with God, and yet with distinct roles in the family and roles in the church. And I think that sometimes we take that to a point that kind of makes some of our ladies feel like, you know, there aren't really opportunities for them. And that's a sad thing. You know, and some of our single ladies, whom at least to this point in their life, the Lord has not put them in that role as a wife and a mom. And sometimes I fear that they feel like, you know, can God really use me? And so my purpose here for just a few minutes is to remind us, you know, that God wants to use all of us. And, you know, roles notwithstanding, and there are things that affects some of the opportunities that are before us as individuals, but, you know, God has opportunities for each one, and He wants to use us in mighty ways. So what we're going to do here tonight, and I guess the title of this, more of a devotional than a message per se, is just the value of women in the church. And we're just going to kind of walk here through Romans 16. So let's begin with prayer. Father, we pray that you would guide and direct, and that you would help me to, in a concise way, in a clear way, just express the heart that I think we see in the Apostle Paul. A heart that reflects your heart, your desire for how you use our dear ladies in the work of the ministry. And so we just pray that you would use this profitably in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Paul starts here in chapter 16. And of course, this is the concluding chapter to this letter to the Romans. And it's the section where really he's sending greetings. And he's offering words of commendation and encouragement. And he begins by saying, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. So man or lady? Lady, right? Okay. Commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. So Phoebe here is not a lady in the church in Rome, but she is another lady that Paul has crossed paths with. And apparently she is the one that Paul is perhaps using as the courier of this letter, taking it there to the church in Rome, sharing it with them. And so he says in verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer. And that word means like a patroness, a benefactor of many and of myself also. So Paul just begins by commending this lady who's made a difference in his life, who has helped him along the way in his ministry. And he says, you know, she's coming to you and she has helped many believers. Would you be a help to her? Would you receive her gladly and willingly and be an encouragement as she comes to you? Then he goes through this next section here and he sends his greetings. The word is sometimes greet, it's sometimes salute. But it's the same Greek word, and he just basically says here again and again and again, give my greetings to, and then he names some 26 individuals, two families, and three house churches. Apparently there were a number of house churches there in Rome that Paul was aware of, and he sends their greetings along. And so he says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila. There's a couple that's mentioned six times in the New Testament, every time together. Clearly, this is just a family, a husband and wife, committed to God's work, different places, different ways, invaluable people in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have, for my life, laid down their own necks. Paul speaks literally there. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, likewise greet the church that is in their house. And that wasn't the first church that they'd had in their house. Paul mentions that elsewhere. He says, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia. Okay, Andronicus is a man's name. Junia, a lady's name. Perhaps, probably, a husband and wife. Maybe a brother and sister. We're not certain. But a couple there with a connection one to another. My kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. So here's one of the families. It may be that Aristobulus himself is deceased, since Paul doesn't send him greetings per se. It may be that he's not a believer, but the rest of the household. And that would have included family members, perhaps the servants, the slaves there. They were, and he sends greetings to them. He says, salute Heronian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus. There again, another household where maybe tradition suggests that Narcissus was deceased at this point. But he says, greet them which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Trophosa. Those ladies are probably sisters, perhaps twins, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, another lady, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who also in certain ways ministered to Paul, as if he were Paul's mother. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. There's the second house church that he mentions. Salute Philologus and Julia. Again, maybe a husband and wife, maybe a brother and sister. Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. So there's the third house church. And he concludes this section of greetings by saying, salute, greet one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, if you were to go through and count up those 26 names, and that's plus Phoebe, okay? But the 26 there where he sends greetings and salutations, Paul identified among those 26, 9 women. You know, plus Phoebe, that's 10. And several, as we saw, are mentioned in connection with a husband or perhaps a brother. Others are identified as ladies just ministering in a single sense in their own right. And, you know, folks, that ought to be reminders to us of the important role that women played in the early church and the recognition that the Apostle Paul has of that. And in fact, beyond that, 5 of the 9 are specifically commended for their labor in the Lord. Priscilla, along with her husband Aquila, Junia, along with Andronicus, Trophima, Tryphosa, and Persis, all of those ladies are specifically. Paul has just an additional word of commendation that here are people who have laid down their neck for me, here are people who have sacrificed, who have served, who have labored in the Lord, and he commends them accordingly. So I would suggest to us that the prominence of women in this passage, and there are others like it, you know, and this, by the way, occurs in a culture that posed a lot more obstacles for ladies than our present culture does, but it shows us the value and the importance of women in the work of the ministry. You know, the ladies, they were involved in ministries that were every bit as important as that of the men. You know, and yet we understand. You know, Paul doesn't identify these ladies that they had they weren't pastors, they weren't deacons. That instruction applies. But that instruction is given not with the intention of limiting the impact of godly women in the Lord's work, in the work of the church, the work of the ministry. And so there's that balance there of recognizing the parameters that God sets. You know, the relationship that God has made between men and women in the family and in the church, and yet recognizing that there is still just broad, broad opportunity. You know, and let me say this by way of personal testimony, okay? I would be lost. I don't mean eternally, but ministerially without my wife, okay? You know, I mean, I would, you know, I'd be a mess. You know, maybe I'm a mess already, but I'd be a bigger mess if I did not have, you know, my wife serving with me. And yet, both Becky and I recognize, you know, that her primary role is to be my wife and to minister to the needs of our family and our children. And she is, I think, you know, a very blessed servant in this church. But you know what? She's not. She's not an assistant pastor. She's not a deacon. You know, and we guard very carefully the way that, you know, obviously she can influence me in ways that many, many other people can't. But we try to walk that careful balance of seeing the great opportunities the Lord has to use her, and many of you have shared with me that she has been a blessing to you, and yet in a way that is in fitting with the way that God has organized the leadership structure of the church. You know, and I think it's important that we not err one way or the other. You know, it's a dangerous thing to take the egalitarian route, that which says, you know, there are no distinctions. Everything is equal. And that's becoming even a common thing amongst many Southern Baptist churches. Now, it's hotly debated amongst the Southern Baptists, but it isn't just in the modernist churches anymore. It's now moving into evangelical churches and beginning to have much more the idea of ordaining women, of having women pastors. And, you know, the point isn't that women could not, in terms of their capacities and abilities, fulfill the responsibilities. The point is that God has created men and women with certain differences in a complementarian way, where together we accomplish everything that God has, together in our families, together in our churches, and God uses it that way. So we don't want to go down that road. We don't want to go down the road of having ladies think that there aren't just grand opportunities where God can use them in amazing ways in the life of the church, amongst the people of the church. So my burden is that we not over or underestimate the value of either men or women in God's service. You know, Marquette Manor Baptist Church wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for the selfless work of many of our good and godly ladies. And it wouldn't be what it is if it weren't for the selfless work of many of our good and godly men and young people. And, you know, there's just, the church is to be that living organism where God brings together believers, each of them uniquely and personally gifted by the Lord. They have natural gifts and abilities. They have spiritual gifts and abilities that God wants to use for the edification of the church. And as the teachings in the New Testament about spiritual gifts tell us, you know, it's needful that everyone live out the place that God has for them in our midst and use those gifts and abilities in God's service for the good of the church, for the growth of all of us. So, folks, I guess my general application to this is, you know what, are you fulfilling what God has for you in this church? And if you're a lady, please don't think that, well, there's really no opportunities. Oh, they are manifold, okay? So you just express your willingness. And men, there are manifold opportunities for you. And the thing that holds us back is not closed doors. The thing that holds us back is our willingness to spend and be spent, our willingness to give ourselves in service to what the Lord wants to do in this church and through this church and impacting the community around us and being a blessing to missionaries and families and seeing God's Word and God's cause advanced around the world. So that's my burden for us tonight. You know, I want to encourage all of us that God has grand plans in the way that He wants to use you in His service. And if you hold back, then we all suffer because of that. You know, and we want to do it in keeping with the parameters and the framework that God has given. But we also want to do so zealously and eagerly, anticipating that God can use each one. So let's close here with a word of prayer.